And good afternoon. It is Wednesday, February the 6th, 2019. 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. A nice rainy middle of the week here in Marion. But it beats the snow and the below freezing temperatures that we had at this time yesterday. So we are last week. So we'll take this over that any day. A little bit of a programming note. Coming up next hour, starting at 1:10, we are going to be joined live via telephone from Washington, D.C., by reporter for the Daily Beast, a regular contributor to this show, and panelist on the long-running television series The McLaughlin Group, Eleanor Clift, on next hour to kind of give us a recap of her thoughts and opinions of last night's State of the Union speech. So Eleanor Clift, next hour, 1:10 to 2 p.m. That will be a lot of fun. We might have a call-in coming sometime this hour, so stay tuned. It may be this hour, it may be next hour, for about 10 minutes, so we will take that as it goes, being live radio. But what we do know is there is a big event coming up at the Women's Club Home on Saturday, February 16th, 5 to 9 p.m. Turn up the heat. We talked about it a little bit in the beginning of January, and we're so glad to welcome back to the microphones today Nancy Hafer and Linda Rizzo to talk about this event, which is just about 10 days away. Thank you, ladies, for coming in today.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Now, the big event coming up on February 16th, tell us all about it.
Well, as you said, our event is entitled Turn Up the Heat, and we picked that name because we need to replace a 1903 original boiler that's in the historic home. And we would also like to upgrade the heating and cooling system in our auditorium. So we know that's going to be a pretty hefty bill to do all of that, and we just really want to take care of the property, and we need to raise money. So we came up with this idea. I had seen it done in another city, and I thought, doggone it, Marion ought to be able to do this if someone else can do that. So we've just had a great time finding dancers and finding dance instructors, and everybody's practicing so hard. They started practicing in December, and it's really starting to turn up the heat now. The competition is happening.
Now, there is a competition, as you say, aspect to this event. Now, tell people how that works.
Okay. The dancers are out there selling tickets for us because their family and friends want to see them dance. But at the event, the winner is the person that raises the most money. So it may not be the most talented dancer, but it's the one who raises the most money. So there'll be opportunity for the audience to participate with the dancers. For example, a dancer may say, oh, come dance with me, but put some money in my bucket. So it'll be the competition will be ongoing all night long. But there will be plenty of opportunity for the audience to dance as well with the partner or with their lady friends or guy friends, whoever they want to line dance with. We're just going to have a variety of dance styles available. So I think it's going to suit everyone's likes.
Now, will the people dancing in the competition be dancing with the dance instructors, or will they have partners, or how will that work?
During the competition, they will be with an instructor and doing the dance that they've been practicing for weeks now. So they have each chosen their dance that they want to do, so there will be a variety of dance styles presented in the competition. But each dancer, each celebrity is presenting one dance routine.
Now, Linda, who are the celebrities who will be competing that night?
Yes, excuse me. We have Marcella Barrios from Barris Restaurant, Danny Drew, Heidi Jones, Stan Sansoda, Mayor Scott Searcher, Lowell Thurston, Nicole Wampler, and Valerie Wigton.
Now, how would somebody get a ticket to this event?
You can get a ticket at Barris Restaurant, at the Main Squeeze or Carol's Jewelers, or by calling 740-387-1366. And we tickets are limited to a total of 125, and they are selling, so you need to get your ticket soon.
And the tickets are $75.
That's correct.
Now, Nancy, how did you become involved with the Women's Club?
Well, I've known of the Women's Club a long time. I actually had my wedding reception there a few decades ago. my best friend, who's president of the organization, Cheryl Herr, had kind of sparked my interest in it again. She had gotten active in it, and the Women's Club was in need of revitalization, someone to take on this mission to continue to preserve the property for the next generation. And it was about to lose its footing. And so there's a group of us that are, including Linda, who we're trying to our best to revitalize it, because we think it does have an important role in the community. We are a venue, and an affordable venue for weddings, baby showers, graduations, etc. The historic property is just such a gem in our community.
Absolutely. Now, Linda, for those who didn't hear the interview when you were on in January, mm-hmm. How did you get involved in the Women's Club?
I I've known Nancy since high school or before, and I've known Cheryl, her, the president, because we went to high school together too. And so I would see them in the community, and they would mention, things about the home. And so I got pulled into it through them, which I really, really enjoy. But I have been working on learning about the history of the home. And my mother, Mary Ellen Withrow, was actually a member. The first time she was a member was in, I believe, 1943 with the Junior Lecture Recital Club, and then she later was president of the Junior Federated Club. So that was another way that I was connected. But you would be amazed. The home was built in 1903, as Nancy mentioned, but probably the height of the membership was around 1945, and there were over 1,000 members. And you know, that's what a lot of women did, is that they would be involved in a different club, like an art club or a literary club, or in some way helping the community. And so this the Women's Club is a umbrella for all the various clubs that were connected to this. And probably just about everybody has got some kind of connection with the Women's Club at one time in this community. And we really, you know, there's a lot of needs at the home, and we're focusing on the boiler right now, but you know, in order to maintain an old home like this in the auditorium, you know, you need money. So Nancy, you know, this was her idea, this Turn Up the Heat, and I think it's just a great idea, and people are getting excited about it.
Now, the home, the Women's Club home, is the Barlow home.
Yes.
For people who don't know, who were the Barlows?
Well, the Barlows were prominent Marian figures in our history of our past. It's interesting in that he started working at Huber Manufacturing, and he worked himself up there from, you know, a laborer to treasurer, and then became president after the founder passed away. And he was president for over 25 years of Huber Manufacturing. And so he was prominent in the community during the era of Warren G. Harding. So, you know, our third floor has a ballroom, and we can just feel the walls telling us that there was probably some important people in this ballroom. The home is just magnificent. If you've never seen the inside, it has sculptured plaster in all the rooms except the maid's quarters. It has hardwood floors throughout. It just has beautiful hand-carved wood, leather-stamped walls, gold-gilded ceilings in the dining room. So it's just a stunning piece of architecture. And we are currently, and part of what Linda's been working on, is historical designation of the site. Not only are they interested in the history of the Women's Club in this community, because it was started in 1895, but they're also interested in the structure itself. But what lends itself to be rather unique is that the Barlows bequeathed it to the Women's Club in 1945 because they didn't have children, and she was very active in the women's clubs at that time. And so that's how we have come to acquire it, and we feel obligated to continue that mission to serve the community.
Now, when was the auditorium added?
That was added in 1962, and there again, that's a rich part of Marion history because that was dedicated to Abigail Harding Lewis, President Harding's sister, who happened to be married to R.T. Lewis, who was a very prominent Marion man, helped start the Rotary, was a land developer, and we have a picture album from that event, mm-hmm. and it is quite stunning. Artwork all over the walls, and the auditorium had how many people did you think was attending?
In the Marion Star, they said 375.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was quite
the
affair that day.
Now, when the Women's Club was at its height, what were those women doing? When they got together, what was the tenor of the meetings?
You had an executive committee that would meet usually monthly, and they were involved in very much in the community, not only with the business of your running your organization, but they would be very involved in the community. I mean, there are records where they were concerned about traffic congestion downtown, and they would go to city council and the city officials to see if what they could do about that. Many years ago, they were responsible really for your city health nurse, and also they were instrumental in getting a school nurse for Marion City Schools. So they funded those two individuals originally. But they, you had your individual clubs then. Like I said, you'd have art clubs, literary clubs. One club was Current Topics. You know, you would have book study, you know, book. There was like a Tuesday book study club. So those groups would have their own meetings, but they would pay dues to your executive group. And then you have your state and national federated groups too, which the Marion County group was connected with. And there are women that served in one in particular that I know of that served at the state level that was from Marion and had served in the Marion Club also.
And Scott, I would just add, I mean, you can only imagine the turn of the century in women's suffrage. Mm-hmm. There is one president, you know, we have a picture, a wall of all the president, most of the presidents of our organization dating way back to the beginning. And there's one lady's picture there that you can just imagine her holding a sign, give women the voting rights. You know, I mean, that would have been a big push in at the turn of the century would have been, I'm sure they were working on issues like that.
What's interesting, so the Marion County Federation was founded in 1890. Mm-hmm. So this is 25 years before women had the right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So in those days, it was difficult for women, I would imagine. But exactly. Yet they formed this group.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And what was interesting in Linda's research, one day she called me and she's like, do you know this person? And I said, oh my gosh, yes, that was my husband's grandmother. And I vaguely remember of her talking about the Century Club. And I just thought it was a local neighborhood because we live out in the county, almost a Hardin County. And here they were a part of the women's club. But in each little community, at least there was one or maybe two different clubs in which the women would get together and they sought to do community service things or where there were needs that they would try to fill in or raise money for.
Now, today's Women's Club, what is the purpose and the focal point today?
Today, we are really trying to still continue the mission of enriching and empowering women's lives through enrichment programs. We're also, of course, like I mentioned, the historical preservation of the home is of interest to a lot of our members. That's why they belong. And the other thing is we're developing partnerships with local nonprofits. How can we serve and support each other? Because we're all out there as nonprofits struggling for membership, struggling for people to help us to accomplish our mission. And so we've kind of developed several partnerships with some local nonprofits of how can we support each other. If it's, you know, offering our facility for their meeting space, for their training space, you know, to keep their costs down, that sort of thing. So we're really looking at how can we better serve our community.
Where do you see the Women's Club going from here? Because it seems to be picking up some steam again, mm-hmm. which is great.
I mean, I think there's interest again. I mean, I just have a sense that the, you know, the revitalization of downtown is happening. People are looking to start small businesses and stay in Marion and feel like we have a, you know, we're Marion made. We have a good reason to be here and support it. No one else is going to support it unless we support it. And so I think there is a new energy of sort with, and we're trying to get younger women involved in our organization as we have been doing. Our membership is growing. And I think we have something to offer them outside of just social media, sitting at home with their little device every night.
Now, these seem like women who were doers. This was more than just a mm-hmm. social club.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, right. I do think of it as a social club. But it was really more than that.
Yes, I think
it was way more than that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. If people do want to join the Women's Club, how would they do that?
They can contact, again, this number, 740-387-1366. Cheryl Embody Herr is the current president. Nancy Hafer is vice president. If we have a website.
And we are on Facebook. Facebook is right. Historic Women's Club.
Mm-hmm.
It would be what you would search for. And our website is kind of a long name because we use our official name, which is the Marion County Federation of Women's Clubs .com. So, but just search for us out there on the web. You'll find us.
Now, somebody sent me a message this morning. At one point, the Women's Club home was tied into an art group. Is that still the case or has that...
No. They that was the bar. It for a period of time it was the Barlow Art Center, but that is no longer the arrangement. That was only for a short period of time.
Now, in the last 10 years, a lot of upkeep has been done. I know the kitchen was redone
mm-hmm,
in the
right.
auditorium, so a lot of things have been updated, which is great. Because yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of people do have their mm-hmm. receptions, graduation parties,
right.
so on and so forth there. And it's hard to find a place with chairs and tables and a kitchen and seating, and that's able to be
mm-hmm.
done there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is. And, you know, there again, we've been struggling, you know, and there's lots of things we'd like to change about the auditorium. We need new chairs. That's a fundraising project we're currently working on, and we were fortunate enough to just have announced, I think it was about last week, the Rotary Club is going to help us get started on that chair project of replacing our probably 1980s, 70s chairs. I don't know. And I know some of the original folding chairs are from the original opening in the 60s because we have pictures of those in that reception that they had, the dedication ceremony. So, you know, we would like to do some painting and change some window treatments and thing and new flooring, but, you know, we had to prioritize our needs, and so that's why we decided on the heating system because it is just so costly for us right now. We call the furnace the beast. It's probably about 10 cubic feet in size, and it's just not very efficient. Thankfully, it's still working, but our heating bills are so significant that we thought if we can reduce that, then that will perhaps give us more money to the other money that we raise or whatever can go to some of our other needs. Because if you don't have heat, you can't have an event, or you don't have air conditioning, you can't have an event. So the rental money does, you know, help to offset expenses, although it, in the past, it really hasn't met all of our expenses. So we're trying to get those down.
Now, the big event coming up on February the 16th, tickets are going well for this, and there are a limited number of tickets, so people
yes.
have to be aware of that. That ticket sales have went well, which is tremendous. Are you surprised by that?
Yes and no.
Not really, because yeah. it's, you know, we were keeping our fingers crossed about it. But
I think as we find in the community that just like everyone has a connection with that home, they'll say, oh, yeah, well, my wedding reception was there, or my grandparents, you know, had an anniversary there, or I've been there for something else. Many people, I'm finding, have not actually seen the historic part of the home. And we will be scheduling some tours throughout the year, so we'll be getting back with you on that. But there's interest in the historic part of the home, I think, more so than that's building. Like you said, Marion's kind of interested in itself again.
Absolutely. And when people come on February the 16th, kind of how will the night go? Will the dancing be the first thing? How will it all play out?
Well, doors open at 5 o'clock. And I do want to mention it's a black tie event, and we do have some help with the parking and getting you to the building.
Yeah, there'll be a shuttle. You can drop off your passengers at the door and drive. We have a good neighbor, the Ag Credit, has a nice parking lot. Our parking lot is being renovated at the moment, so you can drive over there, and there'll be a shuttle that the driver then can get into and be brought back to the door. So.
And then we will have, with your ticket, you get a drink, and we'll have heavy hors d'oeuvres, but they will be socializing and eating from 5 to 6, and then the dancing competition will begin at 6. And we do have two MCs, Amber Wertman and Randy Bigley, and they will be, keeping the event running smoothly. We do have a DJ, of course, but we will have a dancing instructor and a celebrity dance, and then we'll have a little some period in between each dancer where maybe you can dance with the instructor or the audience can dance. And you'll have, we'll have voting going on, like Nancy said, all evening. And and then we won't announce the winner until the very end. So, and it goes until 9 o'clock. So about 10 or 5 till 9, we'll announce the winner, something like that.
So, and it really is a social event. A nice chance to get dressed up and go out and have a good time with other people in the community.
Right. Yes. And it's kind of interesting. It's the men that are kind of giving us pushback on the dress code. It's not the women. The women are looking forward to an opportunity to wear that dress hanging in their closet that they don't get to wear very much. But, don't go out and rent a tux if you don't have a tux. But just wear nice pants and shirt and just look nice, make your person proud that you're with or whatever. But I think Marion is just looking for a way to have some fun. In the wintertime, that's something usually that we don't have very many events anymore. And so maybe this can be I call it our inaugural Turn Up the Heat, because I'm hoping maybe this is a niche that we can kind of continue for a few years.
And it is Valentine's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So something to do.
And don't have to go very far to do it.
No. And, I was thinking after high school, really, there aren't too many events like this that you can go to.
No.
And that's unfortunate.
Since we don't have the charity ball anymore, that was always an event everyone looked forward to.
It was. And it always had a great turnout. And I think it goes to show that tickets have been selling well, that people want to do things like this.
Yes. And support a cause. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that have been supporting our cause, even if they can't attend. And I had a question from one of our competitors last night. She's like, there's a lady that wants to give after your event. Are you still doing fundraising? And I'm like, oh, yes, we are still doing fundraising probably till the day I die, because there are just so many needs at the home. We have so many projects. We have a list of our top 10 that we really want to hit and to keep the property preserved and looking and to be proud of it.
That is something I wanted to mention, that if you are unable to make the dance, you could make a donation to the Marion County Federation of Women's Clubs Incorporated, and the address is 1126 East Center Street, Marion, Ohio, and we would be very grateful for any donations received.
The people who are dancing, I know I talked to the mayor, he was on about 3 weeks ago, and he's not a dancer. by trade, obviously. Have you heard back from any of the people about how the dance lessons are going at this point?
Well, some of them have really ramped up how often they're dancing. And I just want to give a shout out to our dance instructors. I don't think we've mentioned them.
Right.
You know, they have just been phenomenal through this, donating their time to work with these people. Suzanne Harris, Dow Studios in Waldo, and I think she also has a studio in Delaware. Don Yule drives up here to do his two girls that he's instructing, and he's from Delaware County. And Sarah Stalter works at the Visitors and Convention Bureau. She is Mayor Schertzer's coach. Mm. And then the Fred Astaire studio in Powell has been gracious, and we have people going down there to get their lessons. So there's just been so many people involved and just being very generous with their time and their talent with us. So it's just been a fun experience. It's far surpassed already my expectations. So I think this is an event that you don't want to miss out on.
There has been kind of a fun competitiveness, it sounds like, between people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Which is great, and that will make it a lot more fun to be there that night and see exactly what happens.
Exactly.
The women who were in this club, certainly Mary Ellen Withrow, these were Madge Cooper, we talked mm-hmm. about before we went on mm-hmm. the air. These were women who were very heavily involved in the shaping of not only Marion, but society, professional women in the last century,
mm-hmm.
which is something when you think about it. I was always impressed with the bookkeeping at the Women's Club, as I said last time. When I was doing a project with Madge, I went there and they had scrapbooks on people. They were the most organized group that I've ever seen. I've never seen a group so organized.
In fact, in the home, there is a cedar closet that is packed with women's clubs information, and the scrapbooks are in there. And in fact, they would have a fine arts day usually in May, and that occurred for many years. And on fine arts day, they would have scrapbook contests between the clubs. They would have different flower arrangements. They would have pies and cakes and different things they brought in. And I think the community was all involved to probably come and partake. But that was a big deal. And they did all kinds of fundraising throughout the years at the club home, too. So
that is part of the reason I think the Ohio History Connection is so interested in our historical designation as far as just our club activity and the volume that we have. Now, we have applied for a grant through the Ohio History Connection, and we won't hear until the end of February if we're going to receive that, but we're hoping to be awarded that grant. And what we wanted to do with that money was to digitize all of those records, all those scrapbooks, so that, you know, we can have it forever then. So it would involve getting a scanner and a computer, and luckily it was an in-kind grant, so we were allowed to put in the hours that volunteers would be donating to do that. So keep your fingers crossed.
Were there any, obviously Mr. Barlow was around at some point, were there any men who were involved or instrumental in any way in the Women's Club?
Well, R.T. Lewis was very instrumental and gave a large donation for the auditorium. And he did other donations as well. But in fact, they actually gave him an honorary membership because he helped him so much. Now, he's one that I know of. I'm sure there might be others out there, but he's one that I'm aware of.
I think, you know, you go into anything where you have a husband and wife team, at some point the husband gets dragged in, maybe kicking and screaming or maybe being very generous. But, you know, you're usually a team, and I'm sure that there's been significant men, like Linda said, in Marion's history that have significantly contributed.
Did Florence Harding have any connection to the Women's Club that we know of?
I believe, I know Abigail was in a club that they did Shakespeare plays, And she played Juliet. Now, I believe, I'm not totally certain, but I think Florence Harding might have been involved. I think her mother was involved too, but I'll tell you, I'm not certain about Florence.
Now,
right.
Do the records go back to the beginning, or they do?
Yes,
they go back
they
that
do.
Far, all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, the records, the first from about 1895 to the first 20 years or so, the records are by the historian, but they weren't. They were taken. They actually wrote down from their memory. They didn't do records, you know, on time, you know, with that, unfortunately. So I think we probably lost a little bit there, but we had other people. In fact, there's about three different sets where people were saying, here's what went on at that time that they remembered.
Prior to the Barlow home, did the women just meet at different places, or did they have a home prior to that?
No, they met sometimes at the library, sometimes the Presbyterian Church. That was the church that Mrs. Barlow and Mr. Barlow belonged. Different places like that.
In women's homes also.
Yeah, women's homes too.
Do you think there has been a great change in what women are interested in the last 50 years?
Oh, well, that's a loaded question.
Well, it's interesting to me because I think about 1,000 members at one point, and they were obviously very art-oriented, rights for women-oriented.
They were very interested in children being good citizens, too. They talk about that a lot, and they were concerned about that. That they were getting the proper. And another thing, they when the prayer was taken out of the schools, I think that was in the 60s. Of course, it was Supreme Court decision.
Right.
They said there's nothing we can do about this, but they were very upset about that.
That's
very
that's
upset.
Interesting. Yeah.
And another really interesting thing is they were against billboard signs along the highway.
Hmm.
They didn't like that either. So, you know, the interests, yes, I would say they've changed some.
I think your core values, you know, are still kind of seen today, and that you know, as women in general, we care about health, and we care about our community and how it's being taken care of. We care about children and how they're being educated, and women in general are usually more concerned about the arts and the humanities. So I think that common thread you can still see and feel. I think it's palpable. One of our partnerships has been with the Marion Police Department and their impact program, Cops, Kids, and Cocoa, I believe, that we've sponsored that event several times and plan to do so in the future. And so, you know, we're looking for ways that we can support the community and different people's efforts out there, like Women in Correction. There's a huge group in Marion, and we let them use our facility for their training and their meeting space, and that's all a volunteer effort, that group is. And Nicole Wampler, who's one of our dancers, is very much involved with corrections. So I think we still have the common thread that we had even back then, women inequality. You know, we're still talking about breaking glass ceilings. Linda and I were raised in a period of time where we felt like we were breaking glass ceilings, and now I'm hearing that even the 20, 30-year-olds are still feeling that. And so that's still an issue, I think, that is still very prominent, even though it was very much in the forefront in the 1920s and 1910. So I kind of feel proud to be still a part of this.
Well, it's interesting. interesting to me because we can certainly always look at nationally what people were thinking and feeling. Those records are kept very well. But being from Marion and in Marion, it's interesting to learn things like that they were very upset about prayer being taken out of schools, that this went on because this club originated when women didn't have the right to vote. And then as women moved into the workforce in the 40s and 50s, do you think that changed the women's club a lot when more women were going into the workforce?
Yes, well, there was definitely a decline. The membership started declining, and they were concerned about that. I do want to mention that as I've been researching, and you wondered, you know, at one time there were 31 clubs, and I've been making a list of all the different clubs. And were there still any of the clubs in existence today? Well, the Marion Lecture Recital Club is still in existence, but they changed their name to the Marion Music Club. So that was fascinating to me. I said, well, gosh, one of them's still around, you know. And we are, you know, looking at maybe trying to partner with them again a little bit. I mean, there's been some communication, I know, with...
Well, unfortunately, they had a concert scheduled two different times the past month, right, and had to end up canceling because of the weather. It seemed like every Sunday was another blizzard day. So, yeah, there is interest there in getting music back in the home. And we've had held several, we've had a jazz concert this year, we've had some comedians, and so there is interest in having that sort of small, intimate venue to do those kind of small concert events.
When 1,000 people were members, was it a mix? Was it young and older women, middle-aged women? Or did it always tend a certain way?
Well, you had... the actual federation, well, I mentioned my mother was president of the Junior Federated Club. Well, what that meant was the women under 40 were in the junior group, and the juniors group in Marion started in 1953. So that definitely was a younger group, and then you had the other group. So, yeah, I mean, they were smart in the fact, you know, we've got to bring younger people in, and that helped.
What do you think the younger people, the younger women today are interested in? We talked about internet, obviously. I mean, everybody, I think, is interested in that. But what are their wants and needs and goals, do you think?
I want to say that... when we had an open house in September, we had two of them, and we had a group from Harding High School, string group play on the porch, and they came in and looked with the music director, came in and looked at the home, and they were just thrilled with it. And we've had some other ones, and we've got some younger members too. So, but as far as what you're saying, I mean, yes, they're like us, you know, you've got some that are interested in history, and we've talked, the lady that takes care of our website is a young woman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely people out there interested in history.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in Marion County history, I've noticed as 2020 approaches, is a big year for us, is becoming very important.
And it's going to be really important to us, too, because it's our 125th anniversary in 2020. So we are ramping it up with that committee. They've involved us already at the beginning stages, and we're going to be planning some fun events, some sort of look back at historical events that would have been done back then. Can we recreate it now? So, you know, stay tuned for that because we've got a lot of ideas swirling around our heads right now. It's like, well, how many projects are we going to bite off in 1 year? But that's going to be an exciting year for us as well.
Absolutely. Now, we've got about 9 minutes left. Let's run through this again so people don't forget all the details of the event coming up on February 16th.
Okay. Turn up the heat. February 16th. Doors open at 5 o'clock. It is a dancing competition like Dancing with the Stars. Tickets are $75, and with the purchase of your ticket, you do receive a drink and heavy hors d'oeuvres. And bring your cash, because that's how you vote for your favorite dancer or dancers. The dancer with the most money at the end of the evening wins the trophy. Our dancers are Marcella Barrios, Danny Drew, Heidi Jones, Stan Sansoda, Scott Scherzer, Lowell Thurston, Nicole Wampler, and Valerie Wigton. And we will have, parking. You can drop people off at the door. They will park your car at the Ag Center. And so that's not going to be an issue.
We are giving Marion the opportunity to have a fun evening close to home for their Valentine. The Women's Club home is easy to find. It's a lot of people say, oh, it's that place that has the big iron fence out front, mm-hmm. That our Tri Rivers welding class helped us paint the front of that this mm-hmm. year. Thank you very much. So it's a fun evening for Marion to stay close at home and feel like you're participating in the historic preservation of this beautiful property as well. If you can't attend, or if our tickets all get sold out, just give us a call if you want to become involved. We always have many projects that need the community support. So we thank you for your time today and talking about the event, and it should be a fun evening for Marion.
Now, at one point, the Barlows were really close with the Hardings.
Well, they knew each other. We're not sure how close. I would guess that the Hardings were in their home.
We do know they served on some community mm-hmm. boards together, like right. some bank boards and those right. sort of things. So we know that there was a connection somewhat.
There was an article in the newspaper, Marion Star, that when the piano, President Harding's piano from the White House that he used there, left the White House, that it came to the Women's Club home. Do we know what the significance of that was? Was it because of the Barlows, because of the Women's Club, or how did that happen?
I think maybe we were just housing it temporarily.
I think they were needing a safe space to keep it.
Right.
It is since being in the process of being refurnished. They took that away almost a year and a half ago, I believe. So it's being refurbished to put in the new exhibit hall that is going to be, or the home. So we no longer have it. But we have a phenomenal piano that we think it's on our second floor. We're not sure how it got there or if it came from the third floor, because in the home we have a light board that shows the music room. And we think the music room was the third floor. But there's an exquisite piano that's a rectangular piano.
Mm-hmm.
And huge legs, and we're not sure how it will ever be lifted up there, but mm-hmm. it's pretty magnificent.
It sounds kind of like a harpsichord.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a piano in the auditorium
right,
as well.
Correct. Right, there's another one, yes.
And that's been a long-term fixture in there,
right.
which is nice.
That was donated
mm-hmm.
also.
Mm-hmm. Now, the home, the Barlow home, it's kind of interesting. You talked about the ballroom. That is up on the second floor?
It's third floor.
Third floor. But it's not. How many people do you think you could get in a room like that?
Well, you know, back in the turn of the century,
people were shorter and smaller. Yes, they were.
but there's question. Benches all along the side where people would have sat. So, yeah, we had, in September we had people up there dancing, and we had like four couples, and that was probably half the room at that point. So, yeah, I think it was a more intimate space. I don't know that they had lavish, huge parties up there. But
that's one of the things I always wonder. Have we lost that ability because of the Internet? Obviously, we're getting it back with an event like this, to be social with people, to get out and talk face-to-face. To dress up nice, it's really different now. Even churches, I've noticed, aren't doing as many events as they used to do. So I'm so glad to hear that this is going well. Do you think there is a chance to swing things back the other day? We're not going to get rid of the Internet, but to maintain both. Mm-hmm. In-person events, nice events that people can go to, and still have the social media.
Well, let's hope so. I know there's a lot of concern with elementary age children. Hopefully good parenting involves balance. You always have to have balance in your life. If you're only going to do sports, well, you need some music. So hopefully if you're into the internet, you need some other activities as well. And I know that's a huge concern nationwide, the education of our children. Are they getting that balance to be a well-rounded citizen?
And you need social contact.
Right.
You've got to have social contact. And it is kind of going away. I was talking to a teacher the other day who said that school dances aren't attended by as many students as used to be. And I thought that used to be a very big deal when you were in school. It was prom, it was homecoming, and sometimes they would even add extra events just to keep people social.
And we did Hang On Sloopy in the gym at lunchtime in junior high.
There you go. And that we need more of that. So this is a great chance. It's a Turn Up the Heat, Saturday, February 16th, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Women's Club Home. Black Tie Cash Bar, winner determined by cash votes. It's a fundraiser benefiting the Women's Club Home to replace the HVAC system. Doors open at 5 p.m., $75 per person. Includes one drink and heavy hors d'oeuvres. Tickets are available at Main Squeeze Juices and Smoothies, Byrie's Restaurant, Carol's Jewelers, or by calling the Women's Club Home at 740-387-1366. We've got about a minute and a half left. What would you say to people who are on the fence thinking right now about coming to this event?
I think they better get to one of those three places to buy their ticket or give us a call, because they are selling fast. Every day this week, I've had more calls from the dancers saying, I need more tickets. So don't delay. Get your ticket pronto.
And I want to mention, too, that the Women's Club Home is at 1126 East Center Street, in case you didn't know that, in Marion.
It's going to be a competition. It's going to be fun. It's February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day, Center Street here in Marion, the Women's Club Home. Now, don't forget, coming up next hour, Eleanor Clift is going to recap the State of the Union address for us, and that will be a lot as fun as well. And by the way, Mary Ellen Withrow will be with us on Valentine's Day next week, 12 to 2, and I'm sure we will have a lot to talk about then.
And I will add that Mary Ellen is coming to the dance.
She'll be at the dance. Oh, well, now this will be fun.
Right.
She's always a good time to be
with.
You know, that dinner with the presidents, I'm glad to see these events all coming together. Nice social events in Marion. Well, I certainly thank Nancy Hafer and Linda Rizzo for coming in today. Thank you so much, ladies, and you'll let us know anytime anything's going on.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
The Talking Place. For people like legendary comedian Shecky Green,